For example, you take the female figure and close your eyes, contemplate her head hair. The body is made up by 32 parts of impurity. Head hair, body hair, nails, teeth, skin, sinews, bone marrow, lung, heart, liver, spleen, intestine, undigested food, and feces, blood, fat, sweat, pus, and urine. As you keep on contemplating all this impurity one by one, then a very strong sense of repulsiveness will arise in your mind. Then you will not love that, you will not long for that girl anymore. Isn't that good? This applies to women as well. So when a woman has a lust to talk to the opposite sex, she should also contemplate the impurity of this, of that opposite sex 32 parts. For example, if you contemplate her or his feces, will you like it? If you contemplate his saliva, his phlegm, will you like it? I don't think so. So that's the way. It's one of the ways to remove the lustful thought which has already arisen in your mind. You don't have to go to jhana yet. As you keep on contemplating, strong sense of repulsiveness will arise in you. Then you overcome or you remove your last thought very easily. Okay. Now suppose the anger has already arisen in you towards somebody. How to do? How to do? Continue, get angry. How to do? Metta. Okay. The first way is you radiate, you replace your anger mind with loving kindness. May this person be well and happy. May he free from mental suffering. May he free from physical suffering. The two mind moments cannot arise at the same time. So when you are busy pervading the loving kindness to the person you don't like, the anger cannot creep in because two minds cannot arise at the same time. But this may prove very difficult for those who don't have mastery of the mind. I'm so angry with him, how can I send loving kindness to him? It's not possible. Some person don't have mastery of his mind. So the Visuddhimagga, the path of purification, gives you a lot of alternatives. Number one, you can recollect the person's good quality. Everyone, no matter how bad he is, has their own quality. Have their own good qualities. So if his action is very bad, maybe his verbal, his speech is very good, then you should remember his good speech to arouse your confidence in him. Or if his action is bad and his speech is rude, but his mental, his mind is good, then you should remember his good mental state or his good mind to arouse confidence in you. But if you find this person is bad in action, bad in speech, and bad in mind, then what to do? Then you should arouse compassion for him. Compassion make the heart. The compassion make the heart of a good person quiver. So you should reflect. Oh, this person, although he's moving freely now, but in the course of time, he will be blamed by the public. He will be punished by the government. And in the future, he might fall into four woeful states and suffer numerous pain. So you arouse the compassion for him rather than blaming him. The important is a good mental state rather than others. Because when you have good mental state, you have accumulated a lot of wholesomeness. It's called mental karma. But if you still fail, if your person, if your temperament is anger temperament, although using this method, you still fail. No, I still cannot make the compassion for him. Then what to do? The Visuddhi Maga said, okay, you can reflect the quality of Buddha's former birth. When he was Bodhisattva, when the Lord Buddha practicing Bodhisattvahood, perfecting his 10 paramis to fulfill his 10 paramis to become a Buddha. In one of his past lives, he was a preacher, he was a hermit. While he was preaching a discourse to the king's followers, and the king get very angry, this ignorant king get very angry and had his feet and hand cut. Then the king asked him, what do you preach, monk? I'm a preacher of patience. But the patience is not in my feet, it's not in my hand. So the king become more angry, then had his nose and ear cut. Then the king asked him again, what do you preach, monk? I'm preacher of patience. The patience is not in my nose, it's not in my ear, it's in my heart. And the king was so furious, and he kicked his heart until his heart broke. Even then, he remained loving for the king, wish him happy, well, and long life. So when you recollect the quality of the Lord Buddha, the quality of Bodhisattva, do you understand what Bodhisattva is? Mm-hmm. When you recollect the quality of Bodhisattva, you may feel ashamed for your anger. Then you give up, you remove your anger. But if you still fail, by recollecting the quality of the of the Bodhisattva, then you should reflect. All of us are related. The Lord Buddha said, oh monks, it is difficult that a being has not formally been your father, your mother, your sister, your brother, your son, and your daughter. It's not possible, said by Lord Buddha. So all of us are related. Just as like we love our relatives, our parents. So this person who has done you wrong, maybe our parents formerly in our previous life. Now because of the rebirth, different rebirth that we now become, we do know each other. So if you reflect all of us are related, then your anger towards that person subsides. But if your anger still cannot subside, then you should reproach yourself. Reproach yourself. Just like an angry person, want to hit another person, pick up an excrement, make himself stink first. Isn't it true? You want to hit another, you pick up an excrement, feces. Before the feces touch another person, you make yourself stink first. Similarly, if you get angry with that person, you yourself are accumulating a lot of unwholesomeness, unwholesome mental karma, which you have to pay for it in the future. So don't allow your anger arise as you like. Every action, speech or mental involved karma. So by repeating yourself, your anger may subside. But if your anger still not subside, then finally you should buy a gift and offer to him to show your forgiveness and your big heartedness. The forgiveness is the most tender part of the heart. So when the enemy receives your gift, then both of you may become good friends. In this world, there's no eternal enemy, and there's no eternal lover. And the Venerable Sariputta also gave another constructive way to remove the anger. He urges us to contemplate the painful feeling. When the painful feeling arises in us, he urges us to contemplate. That painful feeling has already arisen. It is dependent, not independent. Dependent on what? Dependent on contact. For example, when you are abused, the painful feeling arisen in you. Then you should contemplate. That painful feeling arose because of contact. Contact of the sound, the abuse word, the harsh word. Then, whenever Sariputta say again, that contact is impermanent, already passed. The thought already passed. The feeling is also impermanent. Nothing is impermanent. Buddha says, sabbe sankhara anicca. All compulsive things are impermanent because it only cause and effect. So the painful feeling is impermanent. That perception, the way you perceive that sound, is also impermanent. The formation, the anger, is also impermanent. And the consciousness, attacking the sound, is also impermanent. When you reflect things that such in such a way, then the painful feeling subsides. The anger also subsides. I have tried this way, and it proved very effective. There's a time when I was in Burma. I was abused in the public by a lay people. Wow, I feel so sad. The sadness is rooted in anger. Actually, I was very angry, but I say I'm so sad. Better to be here rather than angry. So I said, oh, I'm so sad. Suddenly, I remember the teaching of Venerable Sariputta. I said, oh, this painful feeling is so unbearable. Where it comes from? Then I remember, oh, because of context. Because of the harsh speech piercing into my ear, because of that contact. That contact is impermanent. then the painful feeling is also impermanent, because Buddha every time says everything is impermanent. Then formation is also impermanent. Perception is also impermanent. Consciousness is also impermanent. When I keep on contemplating in such a way, my sadness, my sorrow, and my anger subside completely. And the joy aroused in my heart. I win over my defilement. So I have great joy. So you can try when you are abused. Okay, all these are the ways to remove your anger. So you should bear it in mind and put it into practice. So the first one, Buddha say the five ways to remove the distracting thought. This is the first one. The second one, if one fails, one fails to use the first method, it will replace the mind, replace the unwholesome mind with wholesomeness, with opposite mental state. If one fails using this method, the Lord Buddha gives another second way. That is to examine the danger in the unwholesome thoughts. You should examine it. Oh, this unwholesome thought is not good. It's reprehensible and productive of painful results for uncountable lifetimes, according to the law of karma. Because when these unwholesome thoughts are not guarded or not restrained, one will put into action, then one will commit sexual misconduct and so on. Just like Venerable Ananda. Do you know Venerable Ananda?
Yes.
The attendant of the Lord Buddha. In one of his past life, he was a handsome guy, very handsome, and intoxicated by his beauty, he went after people's wives, one after another, regardless of the pain he has given to others. After he passed away from that birth, he was cast into hell and suffered numerous pain in the hell. After he came out from the hell, he was reborn as ox, castrated. This is how karma works. After being reborn as an ox, he was reborn as a monkey, castrated as well. I think after three births as animal, then he was reborn as human being, but hermaphrodite. You know hermaphrodite?
Yeah.
Two sex. Because of his previous sexual misconduct, the bad karma. So whatever unwholesome thought arise in your mind, you should examine the danger of this unwholesome thought. It is productive of painful results in your future life. If you believe in future life, if you don't believe, then I don't know what to say. So this is the second way to remove distracting thoughts when they arise in your mind. If one still fails to remove one's unwholesome thought by examining the danger of this unwholesome thought, the Buddha suggested the third way, that is, you should just forget it, forget the unwholesome thought, by not paying attention to it. Just like when you want to see somebody, you walk away or you close your eyes. Don't want to see it, you walk away. So also you should forget this talk by avert your attention to other things. For example, your last food thought arise, then you forget it. You go and read, you talk to your friend, or you listen to talk. In while I was in Malaysia, the deputy minister came to see me. He told me, every time when he met with a beautiful girl, the last food thought aroused in his mind. Every time. Then what he do? What he did? Every time the last thought arrived in my mind, I quickly recite Amitabha, 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 diligently, very diligently. This is the way he avert his attention to other things. So it proved very effective too for him. Now he said, I don't have to recite Abhikama already. When I see the beautiful girl, but the last thought has not. No more arise in my mind. So the practice makes the fact. So when the last thought arises in you, you may recite Buddha, 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 or Dhammo, Dhammo, Dhammo. Okay, if you like, just to avert your attention. It's very easy to do, isn't it? But if you still fail in using this method, the Buddha gives you another way. You should inquiring into the cause of this unwholesome thought. What is the cause of this unwholesome thought? As you keep on inquiring into the cause of this unwholesome thought, the unwholesome thought slackens and eventually ceases. How? Let me give you an example. In the second last birth of Lord Buddha, he was a prince, Prince Vesantara. His last birth on the earth before became enlightened. So he had to fulfill his Dana Parami, the charity. He had to fulfill his Dana Parami. So at that time, a Brahmin came and asked him, his beloved son and daughter. He had to give away, because whatever people come and ask from him, he had to give away, because he's practicing his dana, his parami towards enlightenment. He cannot say no, so he gave away. But this Brahmin is so cruel. He beat his son and daughter in front of him until their skin, their tender skin, were bleeding. And this cruel Brahmin tied up his son and daughter with a rope and dragged them. So this prince, when he saw his son and daughter were tortured in such a way, he feels so angry. He feels so angry and he feels so sad that he had to use his mouth to breathe rather than use his nose. He wanted to take out his sword to kill this Brahmin. But he also inquired into the cause of his sadness, of his anger. Why I feel so angry when my sons and daughters are tortured in such a way. As he keeps on inquiring into the cause of his anger, he knew, he came to realize, because of his attachment to his son and daughter, that the anger arises in him. So once he knows the cause, then he gives up the attachment to the sons and daughters. That he became equanimous. So this is the way, when any unwholesome thoughts arise in you, by using you fail to use the first method, second method, and the third method, then finally you should inquire into cause of the anger the cause of that lustful thought or the cause of that delusion. When you find out the cause, then it's easy to tackle the problem. Are you with me? Okay. If you still fail using this method, then the Lord Buddha said, with teeth clenched and the tongue pressed against your roof of mouth, you should bit, constrain, and crush down the unwholesome thought with wholesomeness. The Lord Buddha is also humorous. So using your heroic effort, you should bit down this unwholesome thought and replace it with wholesome thought. You may think, why is it so important? Why to remove? Okay, I let my anger arise for 10 minutes. Never mind, you know, it's okay. But if you understand the working of the mind according to Abhidhamma, you will know how dangerous it is to let the mind obsessed by the anger or lustful thought or delusion or envy or covetousness and so on. I'm going to share with you Abhidhamma in my future lecture. So when you finally win over your own deformity, you feel great joy, because the practice of the Dharma is a battle within. You fight with your own deformity. You are not fighting with another person. Everybody, every Buddhist should bear in mind, the practice of the Dharma is a battle within, not without, not external, internal. That's what the Buddha say in the Dhammapada. If one conquer thousands of enemies, one is not true conqueror. Only when one conquer oneself, one is true conqueror. So I wish all of you become a true conqueror. Any questions? No question.
In the story of the with the Buddha and the Brahmin was beating his children, how come he didn't intervene to stop?
He had already given away. I mean, if I had already given my thing away, then I have no right to interfere. I have given a gift for you, it depends on you how to use that gift. I cannot say anything.
But his compassion might arise and think, I can't allow that to happen.
Yeah.
I'm quite surprised he could remain quiet.
So, this is a different worldly mind and Bodhisattva's mind. Okay? This is a different, we perceive things differently from the mind of Bodhisattva. At first, I also feel why he has no feeling towards his parents. But I have already told you, he was so painful in his heart. But he had to overcome this pain. This pain comes from the attachment to his son and daughter. And in order to fulfill his dana parami, he had to give away his own body as well. Not to say his son and daughter. Without giving away his son and daughter, he cannot fulfill his he cannot perfect his dana parami. If he cannot perfect his dana parami, he cannot become the Buddha. If he cannot become the Buddha, how can he save earth? So for the sake, for the many sake of all beings, he sacrificed his son and daughter.
Yeah. easy to misinterpret that story, I think. Misinterpret. Because if you take the moment where he gives them away, that's one moment, so he fulfills his parami, and then the next moment where he sees two individuals that are no longer connected to him, that are suffering, that's a completely different moment. Now, if I try to understand this lesson and apply it to the outside world, what if I'm in a situation in the second moment?
Okay.
It's, these people do not belong to me, but they are suffering.
It's very to understand. Are you practicing bodhisattvahood? Are you practicing bodhisattvahood?
I don't know.
For us, I think if I see some people are tortured, I also will voice out and not go to help, you know, because I'm a worthy person, you know. I, of course, I have compassion, but he is a bodhisattva. He's working for the benefit of all beings, not only for two persons. I think the pain he has is greater than the physical pain his son and daughter suffer. Do you understand? The pain a father has for his son when seeing his son and daughter were tortured, I think the pain is greater than the physical pain the son and daughter suffer. So he can overcome that pain, is marvelous. And he has to, because he had to work, he had to perfect his Dharma Parami in order to become Buddha. So we see different things in different angle, because we see things as an ordinary being. But he is a bodhisattva. It's a last birth fulfilling his Dharma Parami. Even somebody come and ask his eye, he will willingly take out his eye to offer. Even somebody wants his heart, he will just cut his cage and take out his heart for the person who asks. So this bodhisattva's mind, we can't understand sometimes because we are still worldly. Okay?
Yes? Yes. I think there is another perspective to see this. This metaphor of similar. I think there is a basic, a haunting mind in that condition that the son will be tortured and the father will be tortured at the same time. I think there is also a key point is about the violence.
The violence?
Yes, I think the Brahma is physical violence to another two people. But at the same time, if the king, if the bodhisattva has the anger towards that person, or either he wants to protect that person, he himself also stands at a situation that he also arrives the violence, violent mind. So how to face the violence without violent mind? That mind. My reflection about it is about how to see the violence without violence.
Mm-hmm. She brings out a very good point that anger cannot conquer anger. Mm-hmm. Only by loving kindness and patience that anger is conquered. It's a very good point. Another point is that the sons and daughter. This son is Rahula in his previous life. You know about Rahula? The son of Buddha? Mm-hmm. They have already made a vow to perfect, to help the Lord Buddha to fulfill his parami. So they are ready to suffer for Lord Buddha, as the Bodhisattva, for his enlightenment, for the welfare, for all beings. Just like after he has given the two, the son and daughter away, then finally he has to give his wife away another Brahmin came and asked his wife, and he had to give away. But his wife never complained, because in their previous birth, his wife already made a vow to become his faithful companion and to fulfill his parami. So he know he know that if the boy starts like fulfilling his parami towards enlightenment, so they already ready to help them. So he has no complaint at all.
Would you give us the antidotes or the remedies for lust and for anger? How about greed and hatred?
Greed is meaning lust is greed. It's the same. Anger, I have given a lot of alternatives according to the Buddha's Zen.
So we apply those to those other mind states?
Yes, when the anger arrives. So you using the method, the alternatives are given to you one after another until the anger subsides.
Mm-hmm.
And about the delusion, I have not yet touched about delusion. So you should bear in mind the law of karma. Sometimes we perform unwholesome actions and speech, or we allow the unwholesome thoughts lingering in our mind for a long time, is because we forget the law of karma. And we don't know, we are ignorant about the working of the mind and the working of the karma. If you know, after you have learned the Abhidhamma, I think you will be more careful about to stop all the unwholesome thoughts for arising.
Yes.
Sister, what is the antidote for doubt?
Okay. to associate with wise person or learned person to ask. Because when you ask, you clarify your doubt. So you have to associate with wise or learned person who is good in the teaching of the Buddha.
I'm not sure I can make this a coherent question. I've often wondered about the order in which those suggestions are arranged. Our final objective is to eliminate underlying tendencies, like the fetters. And the hindrances can be dealt with easily and suppressed, but the fetters keep coming back again and again and again.
The fetters. Okay.
And so we have to dig deeply in order to get at those things and taints and what have you. Why is turning away from something, why is that suggested before examining it closely? In other words, examining it closely, the idea of looking, the bodhisattva looking into his heart and seeing the source of his feelings, seems like a more permanent solution than simply turning away. And so I've often wondered why they come in that order.
Okay. I think the Lord Buddha may know that a human being or worthy person may not be so intelligent to find out the cause. Because the teaching of the Buddha is cause and effect. We often forget that. We often forget the cause of effect. Because our mind is most of the time deluded. So I think Buddha knows that it's not easy for ordinary being to find out the cause of that unwholesome mental state. That's why he put it into the number four. This is my it's not mentioned in the text, but it's what I interpret. Okay, any other questions? Oh, I was told by my teacher a lot of questions. But I
give
half an hour to ask.
What about restlessness?
How to stop a restlessness?
Yes.
When you are
mind wandering.
I know. When is it? Or why you are in our daily life or what?
In meditation.
This is the most difficult question to answer. Only Arahant know restlessness. how to stop the restlessness. I think you have many meditation teachers here to answer the question. Sister Limankara, how to overcome the restlessness?
Carry on.
I think sometimes when the mind is too restless, you should change another subject, another meditation subject. Or you walk up and walk. I think I'm not good in this aspect. Any other questions?
With a restless mind, can't you learn mindfulness by watching it? Because while you watch the restlessness,
yes,
the part of you that's watching the restlessness is not restless.
Right. That's mindfulness. Yes, good. Very constructive way of watching restlessness. So, but you must have mindfulness to know you are restless. So when you are mindful that you are restless, you watch this restlessness. I think this is a good way. Thank you. Any other questions? No. Mm-hmm. A bit early.
How about combating fear?
Fear.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many aspects. What can you give me more precise? What type of fear?
I've seen it during meditation practice when fear arises.
Why the fear arises? You must know why the fear arises. I never had fear arise during my meditation, so I can't understand why. You must know why the fear, what type of fear? Fear of death, fear of losing, or fear of what? You have to be more precise. What type of fear?
I don't know, probably fear of losing the self.
Losing oneself?
Mm-hmm.
It's very Western style. I think Asian has no this problem. Losing oneself. I need a figure out. If you can tell me more precise, then I may be able to give you some way to remove it. But now I can't understand the feeling of losing oneself. It's just... Oh, I mean they're losing the body. You mean they're losing the body?
Yeah, it's like fear of like a loss of identity and also of losing the mind. Like losing one's mind.
One never loses one's mind. It's just the worry. One never lose one's mind. It's just that you lose the mindfulness.
Mm.
You lose the mindfulness of what is happening now only. Mm. It's not losing. One never lose one's mind. The mind is always there.
Losing one's mind is an expression that means like to go crazy.
Okay. If you follow the instructions properly, accurately, you will never go crazy.
Okay.
But if you do not follow the instruction of the teacher correctly, then you meditate, you know, according to your way, the way you like, you may go to crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So if you then make sure you will follow exactly what the teacher taught you, then you are safe. Okay?
In Sayadaw's book, Knowing and Seeing, he mentioned that worry is related to hatred, but I could not understand the relationship between worry and the hatred. I don't know whether you can elaborate a little bit more.
This is the subject of Abhidhamma.
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk later?
Sure.
Yeah, I'm still hung up on the story.
Okay, no problem.
Gave the children away. I just couldn't the Bodhisattva be accruing negative karma at the same time by being witness to and allowing that level of suffering to occur without necessarily taking a violent action to stop it? I mean, he could come from loving kindness or compassion to try to intervene, couldn't that, to just stand by and do nothing seems to be, like, if I was to just witness, if I was the neighbor to someone who was abusing their children and I did nothing, I think I would be on some level responsible to that suffering on a karmic. No? Yes? Is that? Can you help me understand?
So there you go. Anything to say?
I just feel like it's being like to, then Donna is being compartmentalized somehow. It's like you're not allowed to have sexual misconduct, but it's okay to give your wife away. I'm like getting confused by all
a bodhisattva, when one want to become a bodhisattva, and when it sees its predicted, definite prediction from a previous Buddha, so he has to fulfill 10 paramis. Number one is Dana Parami. The Dana Parami fulfilled by Bodhisattva is different from ours. We also fulfill our Dana Parami, but we fulfill our Dana Parami in a very lowest degree. Bodhisattva fulfilled his Dana Parami up to the highest degree. So, to fulfill his Dana Parami, he had to sacrifice five. Number one, his kingdom. Yes, he had to give away his kingdom and all his belongings. If he cannot perfect this parami, he cannot become Buddha. Number two, he had to give away his son, daughter, and wife. Number three, he had to give away his limbs. And number four, he had to, the last one, he had to give away his life as well. One I forget already. His organs, his eyes. So he had to fulfill, perfect this five ways in the highest degree. So I think he sacrificed, as I have said, the pain he has by seeing his beloved sons and daughters were bitten by the Brahmin. The pain he had is very strong. But he also thinks that what I have done is for the achievement of enlightenment, for the omniscient mind, to help all beings. Because by such contemplating, he can overcome his sorrow. And he also knows there's no way to stop this cruel Brahmin, because this Brahmin is Devadatta in his previous life. You know Devadatta? Mm-hmm. The Buddha's enemy? Mm-hmm. So whenever this Devadatta has grudge towards Bodhisattva, so whenever he met with Bodhisattva, he will inflict harm to Bodhisattva. So he knows there's no way to, you know, to stop him. And he don't want to conquer him by
force.
Yeah. Or maybe you can suggest another way how to help him.
Maybe it's like if you're in a circumstance where you, by giving away your son and daughter, you realize that you're benefiting, you're saving the lives of a million people.
Right, that's what I say. For the welfare and benefit for all beings.
It makes it a little bit easier when I look at it that way to understand something like that.
Yes.
Where is that story found?
In Jataka story.
Jataka.
The last volume. Whenever I read this story, my tears flow. So it's very painful for him to get away and see his son and daughter being tortured. But his love and compassion for all beings is greater than his love towards his son. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can't understand the Bodhisattva's mind. That's why we can't understand why he's equanimous towards other people's suffering. You have to make your mind more broad and with love and compassion for beings to see this case. Just like you say.
I'm thinking about the justification of backing the violence in that case, or in some similar situation, is, for example, the Yemen war, Iraq war, there is always like a justification for someone can fight back, because my, was kind of something beyond to my expression. So if we take that story as a way of seeing the violation or the victim from my side, rather than to see the whole picture. Mm-hmm. And because I think if we take the son and daughter as a symbol of a metaphor of belonging to the son, and because my belonging to be good, so I can justify my father.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that story just kind of seems to lead us to see a great mind, how to cultivate a great mind. But I don't think it would just start there, that the story just start there in terms of the Bodhisattva start any fighting back to the Brahman. It's zero action. I think that peaceful attitude has meaningful action. That will also influence the Brahman mind. So I think we see in action as peaceful mind, like a zero, like a fearful mind. I think when he decided to hold back to his attachment, at the same time his dream, he also breaks through a peaceful way in terms of his physical comfort. Because he and his bad community. So that reminds me the peaceful work of Vinakam.
Mm-hmm.
I think he tried to demonstrate the way can be done out of that peaceful way, that peaceful attitude, rather than to fight back. That's my final thought, is that I don't think we can take the story word by word. I think there is a kind of a way of operate or to cultivate our mind as we encounter the conflict, and it's another way of facing or encountering the violence, and which is also a very powerful way. And I think there is also continued action by way of keep peaceful and
equivalent
attitude to the
conflict situation. Maybe I think I should finish the whole story. Do you want to listen? Because I only tell you one part of the story. You know? Do you want to listen the whole story?
Okay.
Yeah, better. Yeah. Okay. So this is the last birth for Bodhisattva in human to fulfill his Dharma Parami. So when he was born, then he was delighted in giving away gifts, no matter how valuable they are. When anybody comes and asks, he only gives. So one day, the neighbor of his country was facing, I think the name, no rain, it's called drought. Then they told them they had to ask a white elephant from this Vedantara's country. This white elephant had the power to drop the rain. So the neighbor come to Vedantara's country to ask this white elephant. This white elephant is a symbol for this, for his, it's not a symbol, it's a jewel for this country. So, but Vedantara is a bodhisattva, the last birth on the earth. He cannot say no. Even his life, he will give away his life. So he just give away this elephant. So, the citizen was very angry with his action. So the king has no choice. The king abandoned him, banished him to another place. So he brought his wife and his son and daughter. They went to Himalaya. So when they stay in the Himalaya, this Brahmin, the poor Brahmin, Tushaka, meet slave. So he came to Vedantara, the prince Vedantara, to ask the slave, to ask his son and daughter to be a slave, to be his slave. Since Bodhisattva cannot say no, so he kicked away. But he also knows, but the Vedantara told the Brahmin, he give a price for his daughter and his son. So okay, you take away this. If you mix with somebody, want to buy this son and my son and daughter, that person will have to give a big amount of money. And to the Vedantara's father, the palace where the king lives. So when this Sujata arrives in the palace, then the king recognizes his grandson and granddaughter. Then he wants to take back. And then Sujata said that you have to pay me this amount of money I will give back to you. So the son gives the amount of money he requests. Then he offers him a lot of food, entertain him. And this Sujata is so greedy, he overate, then died. And died. And the son and daughter also reproached his grandfather by punishing his father. So the king apologized and asked his son, his grandson and daughter, brought him to go to visit the Prince Vedantara. And when the son and daughter were given away, then the last, he had to give away his wife. So the Saka is the god of 33, the god of 33 plains. He knew that somebody will come and ask for his wife, and the Tushaka and the Vedantara is ready to give away his faithful companion. So he changed his form, he transformed himself as an old, very old Brahmin. He said, I better take away his wife first, rather than others come and take away his wife. So he transformed himself as an old Brahmin and comes in front of Vedantara and said, I want your wife to become my wife. And Vedantara looked at his wife, because you have, if his wife does not agree, then he cannot give away. So the Vedantara looked at his wife. His wife is a great lady. She said that what you want to do, you do. You want to give me away? Go ahead. So the Vedantara hold her hand and give to the old Brahmin. And the old Brahmin,
transform
himself to Deva again. Say that you already gave away your wife. You already perfect your Dana Parami. Now I return my wife to you. Then the son and the grandson and daughter also brought his father and grandfather to come to the Himalaya to receive Vedantara. And the grandfather asked forgiveness from his son. So anything ended very wrong. I don't know. I think it's my fault to give you only part of the story because I want to for you to ask questions. Okay, I learned the lesson. Next time I should give you a complete picture. Okay. Is the time upwards? I will suggest you to read the birth Jataka story. It's all stories are very touching and very meaningful. Very, very, the Ananda story that I told you is also in Jataka story. I was very shocked when I first read this story. Because in the realm of rebirth, sometimes because of ignorance, we perform a lot unwholesome. That's why this is the thought of going around in samsara. Okay. If no question, we will stop here. Can you transfer merit?
Yes.
For all dinners and all people. What? Usually how you do? No. Then you follow after me. Etavata
Jamnehi Jamnehi
Sampadam
Sampadam
Punya Sampadam
Punya Sampadam
Sabbe
Deva
Sabbe Buddha
Sabbe Buddha
Sabbe Satta
Sabbe Satta
Anumodantu
Anumodantu
Sabba
Sabba
Sampati
Sampati
Vidya
Vidya
Idang Me
Idang Me
Punyang
Punyang
Nibbana
Nibbana.